Good afternoon. Welcome to another episode of Logan's Devotions. It's great to be together. Wonderful to open up God's Word for another day and see what He has to say. We're going to be turning through to the book of Romans again and looking at the next section of chapter 3. But before I read that, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your Word. We pray that you would bless it to us. We know that we cannot benefit from it unless you do a work in our heart. Unless you, by your Spirit, take this word and press it into our hearts and minds, that we might grow and be blessed by it. So we pray that you would do that work in us today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans chapter 3, verse 21 to 26. But now the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift, through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Well, if in our last section, Paul put the nail in the coffin, showing that everybody is a sinner, here it's as though Paul now does a eulogy. But far more than that, he gives hope. I wonder if you were to summarize what sin is, what would you say? What would you say if someone came up to you on the side of the road and said to you, "What is sin?" Would you describe it as the act of rebellion against God? Would you describe it as committing sin, committing sexual adultery, or maybe lying? Maybe you've seen those types of gospel presentations that people do on the side of the road where they ask people, have you ever lied? Have you ever cheated? Have you ever stolen something? Have you even ever stolen a cookie? Or have you ever thought lustfully about someone? And then they say, ah, yes, you're a sinner, but there is grace in Christ. I'm not bagging on those, but maybe you've heard those. And maybe you think that's a good summary of what sin is. Well, if you were to ask the Apostle Paul to give you a summary statement of sin, he actually wouldn't talk about what you do. He would talk about what you lack. He would talk about what you lack. And that's what he does in this passage here. Paul has been showing, as we remember, through chapter 2 and through the end of chapter 1 and through chapter 3, he's been showing that everybody is under the judgment of God, Jew and Gentile alike, without distinction. And so he now comes to deal with salvation. He comes now to consider whether Jew and Gentile are saved alike. And to begin that, he wants to stress that there is no distinction for you and I, both in our sin and in the way we're saved. And so to summarize the reality of our sinful fallen state, he says in verse 22, there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, or fall short of the glory of God. So Paul's summary definition of sin here is not an action, but a lack of something. That word for fall can equally be translated as to lack something, to not have something. And it's interesting because if you and I were to finish the sentence, for all have sinned and fallen short of, we would probably finish that sentence differently. I mean, we wouldn't now because most of us know this passage, but most of us would probably, at least I know I would say something like, fallen short of God's law, or have rebelled against him, have not kept the law. But Paul says something far more profound. He says they have fallen short of the glory of God. They have lacked the glory of God. And so in summary of what it means to be a sinner, it means to lack God's glory. What does that mean? Well, he's not saying it's because as human beings, you don't have the glory of God. If you had God's glory like God does, you'd be saved. No, he's pointing to something back at the time of Adam and Eve. And that's what he's been doing throughout this whole passage, hasn't he? All the way through, he keeps hearkening back to creation and fall. Now think, what were Adam and Eve made to do? Adam and Eve were created as image bearers of God. Now, what does that mean? Well, it means a whole lot of different things. But one of the foundational aspects of that is that they were created to reflect God's glory in the same way that statues do. The statue of a hero is not the hero. The statue is not the hero, but it reflects, it represents the glory of the hero. And so throughout our cities, prior to people beginning to tear down statues, at least, within our cities, there would be statues and monuments which reminded us of past events in history, of the heroes of our societies and what they did. And as you look at them, you're able to remember the glory of the individual who did something. And that's what Adam and Eve were created to be. They were created to be representations, representatives of God. They were there so that people would look at each other. Adam and Eve would look at each other, and those after would look at each other and see God's glory as it's imaged in you and I. But the fall happened, didn't it? And so what Paul is referring to is that in sin, in Adam and Eve, when sin came into the world, when we rebelled, we lost that. We lack something. We lack the ability to glorify God. We lack the ability to be a representation of God's glory any longer. And he says there is no distinction. That is true for you. It is true for me. It is true for the people in Asia in bygone eras, the people of Africa, the people everywhere. Every single human being post Adam and Eve is fallen, is lacking, has lacked the glory of the living God. And that is why we are under the judgment of God. Because we no longer can do what God has made us to do. We no longer represent him in this world as an object of his splendor and glory, but rather we now represent rebellion, sinfulness, hatred, anger, sexual adultery, blasphemy, everything. The image that was created to glorify him now blasphemes his holy name. But we are not without hope. We are without hope in and of ourselves, but we are not without hope, for God has come to remedy the situation. So there are these image bearers who are lacking the glory of God, who are lacking that which is required to make us glorifying image bearers of God. What did we lack? We lacked the righteousness of Christ. And so, verse 21, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law. So the law, apart from obeying the law, apart from the proclamation of the law and prophets, the righteousness of God has been made known. How has it been made known? The law and the prophets bear witness to it. So the law and the prophets point towards it. They say, hey, it's coming. And in verse 22, we read, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe, for there is no distinction. I wouldn't put a full stop there. For there is no distinction. For there is no distinction points both forwards to no glory and backwards to all who believe. So what do we need in order to glorify God? We need to be righteous, because only a righteous, perfect person can glorify God without lacking the glory required, without lacking the righteousness to do that. And how did Christ do this? Verse 24. And are justified. Who are we? Are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. So, what happened? We're lacking glory, we're lacking righteousness, we're lacking everything good as a group of image bearers. We lack everything necessary. And so God provides it in Christ Jesus. Firstly, by propitiating, by, what does that mean? Turning aside the wrath of God. God's wrath was being displayed, we saw. God's judgment was being revealed against fallen humanity. But Christ came. Christ came and took that punishment upon himself. He took that wrath upon himself in his work upon the cross. This is the redemption. This is the justification that God put forward Jesus as a propitiation by his blood. So God, don't put God the Father and God the Son against each other. You know, sometimes people say God the Father is just this angry God and Jesus comes and saves us from him, as if he wrestles God's arm to get him to redeem us and save us. That's not the way it works. God the Father loves the world so much that he sends his one and only Son to take his wrath so that he can redeem us. It's a joint effort by the triune God in order to redeem a people to himself, in order to restore image bearers to be able to glorify his name once more. Why did he do this? He did this to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance, he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Why did God do it this way? Why did God see fit to redeem a people to himself in this way? So that his righteousness, his goodness, his perfection would be displayed. I love the way it's talked about in Ephesians chapter 2. In Ephesians chapter 2, it says that he's done it so that the immeasurable riches of his kindness will be displayed in us. And the idea is that in the coming ages, at the end of time, when everyone is stood up before the throne of God, there will be a people put on display. And those people put on display are not there so that all of humanity can go, well done, Logan. They are put up there on display so that every single mouth will acknowledge that God has been immeasurably kind to you and I. You see, it's God's desire to glorify and honor his own name and declare himself as the justifier. That means you get salvation. Some people say, oh, what a selfish God. He wants to declare his own righteousness. He wants to declare his own splendor. You must understand. You must understand that it is God's desire to glorify his name that produces your salvation. It's God's desire to be glorified that means you don't stay in your sin. You should thank God for his desire to be glorified among the nations, because his desire to glorify his name among the nations has led to a mighty salvation for you and I. He is glorified whether he saves us or not. He could have left us in our sin, lacking all glory, lacking all righteousness, and we would have gone to hell to the praise of his glory. But he saw fit to glorify himself in this by giving his son as an atoning sacrifice for you and I. We are the benefactors of God's glorification. Let me say that again. We are the benefactors of God's glorification. God gets the glory, we get the benefits. And this should generate a couple of things within us. It should generate within us an immense sense of gratitude and humility and praise. There's no room for pride. There's no room for distinctions between Jew or Gentile, between black and white, between Asian and American, between European and African. There's no distinction. Just because the gospel started in the Middle East or continued through Europe makes no difference. The fact that the church existed primarily in the West means nothing. Because none of us have received it because we deserve it. We have all received it because it has been part of God's plan to glorify his holy name. And so secondly, it should cause us to bow to our faces and worship our God and King. Glorify him with our hearts, glorify him with our thoughts, and glorify him with our bodies. As he will go on to say in Romans 12, to live as living sacrifices. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you for your word and we pray that you would bless it to us. We thank you for your glory and your display of that glory in which we have been redeemed through Christ by faith. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, thanks so much for joining me for another Logan's Devotion. It's been great to be together. I'll see you back here next week for another week of devotions. God bless.